knives. So, in a more practical sense. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah in Vav Amud Aleph asks the Shaila about Haggadah. There's a Stira. Rami Lev of Amram, Rav Sheshes, Tanan Shvod, and Vaskala Malabnan Ba'or. On the one hand, it says you need Livan, but on the other hand, it says you need Haggadah. So Rav Sheshes says, Ma. It's a bunch of answers in the Gemara. I don't have time. But in the end of the day, there are two answers we're going to focus on now. One is Rava, and Rava says that kol yom yom nasig yul chaveiro, and the Rashba explains, because, as we saw, it's niklash ha'isser, that since you did Haggadah before the isser was chal, so just like we say, in the case of Nat Bar Nat, that the Haggadah is maklish it, and that prevents the Isser from being chal, so too over here, even though Be'etem it's a kli that's Tashmish Ali Day Or, and it's a kli that should require Libun, but as long as you did Haggadah before the Isser set in, so that prevents the Isser from setting in when the Zman Isser comes. And Rav Ashi says, Li'olam k'damer me'kara, ha'chatera bala ha'chisura bala. No! Hatera bala works, even if the Zman Isser already kicked in. Meaning to say, even if it already is Nosar, but since at the time that the Belia came in, it was Mutter, so then Haggadah would work. Udkakasha l'cha debeidna dekapalet isura kapalet, beidna dekapalet lo isei l'isure be'enei. Since at the time it was Maflet, the Isser isn't Ben, it's just Belios. And Rashi explains, l'chamir isuro, shekshenasa nosar, lave isur be'enei, shebetoch dof ne'akliha balua. At the time the Isser was Chal, this was not Ben, it was only Blios. Umeolam lo hukar isuro. Now, Rava's answer, we've already explained, we understand, we studied Nat Bar Nat. Ravashi's answer is much more mechudash, and a little bit harder to understand, because since the Isser was Chal, there's no doubt that the Isser was Chal, had you used this pot, this Kli, without doing Haggadah, it would have Asered whatever was cooked in it, but you did Haggadah, and we know that Haggadah doesn't remove all the Blios, because we know that Haggadah does not work for Blios that are entrenched in such a way because it was used Ali Dei Ha'or. What? Exactly. At least it's not an Amber Alert. So that was really go crazy. Yeah, so why should this be? But that's the Chiddush of, and that's why the Gemara originally rejected this answer, but that's the Chiddush of Rav Ashi. Fine. So, and the truth is that the Psukim sound this way, because the Psukim in the Parsha of Hechsher Kelim by Kachim don't mention Libun. It only mentions Haggadah. In that case, it doesn't call it Haggadah, Mariko Shtifa, but it doesn't mention Libun. It only mentions Libun in the Parsha of Hechsher Kelim from Non-Kosher, which would support the idea that it's not Shayach Haggadah when it comes to... I'm sorry, it's not Shayach Libun when it comes to Hetera Bala, even if it's turned into Isser.
When do you do Libun
with... That's the point. Well, when would you? If you roasted a Karban Shlamim or whatever. You would. I mean, that's what, right? You should need Libun. Oh. So it's actually very nice in terms of the Psukim. But not. So what comes out is that we have this Nafkamina Hetera Bala in two places, practically. I mean, in the world of Kachim in theory, but in the practical world, in Basar B'Chalav, there everybody's going to agree Hetera Bala. And also, in the world of Chametz V'Pesach, if you assume Chametz V'Pesach is Hetera Bala. So, there's a big machlokas we showed him, though, whether you treat Chametz as Hetera Bala or not. On the one hand, it is Hetera Bala. It's mutter to eat at the time that it was absorbed. On the other hand, some Rishonim say Chametz Shema Olav, that even though it does have a shem Chametz the rest of the year, perhaps the Isser Chametz B'Mikdash is a reflection of that, and therefore it's considered Yisur Bala. And this is a big machlokes Rishonim. The Rambam, for example, does not mention Liban in all of Hilchos Pesach. He only mentions Hagala, which is an indication that he holds that Chametz is a Terah Bala. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah on Ayin Vav Amud Beis notes that the Gemara says in Psachim Lamed Amud Beis that you could be Machshir Sakinim, Sakine de Pescha Behagala. The Gemara in Chul and Chesam Amud Beis says Sakin Shol de Kochavim, you need Liban. So Tosfos gives two answers. One answer is Shani Sakine de Pescha de Terabala. So that would be like the Rambam. The other answer, Rabbi Nutan says over there, is that they're talking about two different knives. Small knives, so you don't use them for roasting, right? Why would you ever need why would you ever need Liban on a knife? Because, you know, you have a barbecue, right, and you need roast your hot dog, so you stick the knife at the end, you stick the hot dog at the end and you put it in a fire, so that's for big knives, but, right, not for small knives. So l'chor, again, these two answers in Tosfos correspond to this question. Rabbeinu Tam is machmir for Shitas Ramban, that Chametz is Isura Bala. Fine. Now, are there any nafkaminas, though, with respect to going back to the answer of the Avodah Zarah, whether we would hold like the answer of Rav Ashi or the answer of Rava? Because in terms of Bas B'Chalav, there's no nafkamina, because it never turns usser, right? And in terms of Pesach, l'chora, in the end of the day for us, there's not going to be nafka mina anyway, because we hold, first of all, we're machmir that chametz is isura bala, and you couldn't anyway do hagalah on Pesach because it's an isur mashu, and we're machmir when it's nosin tam lefgam and the like. So you can't even do hagalah on Pesach for something that needs hagalah, kol shekein something that needs libun. Anyhow, so is there any nafkamina with this machlokes Rava and Ravashi? So very interesting nafkamina comes up if you hold like a fascinating chiddush of the Alter Rebbe. This, if you want to look it up, it's in Shulchan Aruch HaRav Siman Tafna Aleph Sif Yud Gimel. And Rabbi Willig, even though the postman don't quote it, Rabbi Willig was mitzarif this shita. In a case where there was another saddle haka. So he says a fascinating thing. Let me tell you a shaila. Let's say I go ahead. We're going to talk about frying pans in a couple minutes. But let's say I use my frying pan to fry meat without any oil. So it's mamish used b'or. No oil. And then I use that same frying pan, let's even say within 24 hours, for milchig of pancakes, with a lot of oil. Pancakes need a lot of oil. Okay? So now my frying pan is definitely bas b'chalav, no doubts. Okay? Can I do hagala? So I would have thought, of course not. Why? Because the blios that are used, that went in, when I basically used a saide, or when I used the meat with no oil, are very entrenched. They became basar b'chalav when I cooked my pancake in it. And those blios, which are now asar, will not come out with hagala, right? They remain in here, and therefore they're asar. They can't be touched. And this is, at this point, it's isser. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says, no, Hagala works. And exactly because of what we say in that Gemara, he says that what happens, even though Hagala will not get out those blios, aval oso me'at lo nas iser. What was the Svar Rav Ashi? That little amount of blios that are left after you've done Hagala, from when you use the Kli Al Yedei Or, there's no Isser on them. There's no Kevan Shalosh Shai Chalos Isser Aloso Basar. It's unbelievable. I'll just read it to you. Kigon Shenitzal Em Basar Levado Shu Heter. The Achar Kach Nivla Bahen Chalav. Harehin Nechshar Nal Yedei Hagala. The Afal Pishetam Basar Nivla Bahen Al Yedei Haor Eino Niflat shehem legamre, mehem legamre al yidei agala, mikol makom oso muat, tam basar abalua meod besocham, ad she'enu niflat mehem, rak al yidei or, kolashu meod, ve'enu kedai sheyachul alav shem chadash, dahainu bas b'chalav. When you cook chalav in that pot, when you cook chalav in that pot, which blios became basar b'chalav?
Saying you were mangel the meat into the chalav?
Those deeply entrenched blios are so shvach, iser can't be chal on them.
Why are they deeply entrenched?
Because they were only went in al yidei or. Now, let's think about it in general, right? You go ahead and you use a kli. We know that agala doesn't work. Why? So there's actually an interesting clair about this. But let's assume now that certain blios are so deeply entrenched or strongly attached or the like, a small percentage, that when you do agala, they won't leave. Right? The only way to get them out is to burn them out through libun. Sort of like a kli charis. They won't leave. So they're very shvacha blios, though. Right? 99% of the blios will come out ayde agala. And iser can't be chal on no shvacha blios.
But you teach agala before the milk or after?
No, after the milk.
So why wasn't the iser already chal?
Because iser can't be chal on such shvacha blios.
You're saying anything was chal and it was already out?
Anything that could, that the, oh, exactly, isn't it? But he's saying, that's exactly what Rav Ashi says. What did Rav Ashi say? Rav Ashi said, you go ahead, You used a kli to roast whatever, chatas. And now it's nosar, right? And you do agala. So if it was treif, this is ineffective. But if it's kosher, it's mutter, right? And the whole svara of the Rashba that iser isn't chal on a shvach ablia, so l'chor isn't shayach here. But still, Rav Ashi says that, and that seems to be the maskana of the Gemara.
Why are we assuming that the tigun is ayde or? Isn't the research say it's not?
I told you, we didn't have any oil in your frying pan.
And he says that it doesn't matter.
Really?
He says that
maybe you saw there were
We never see...
That's because they always used oil in their frying pans. No, we'll get to frying pans. We'll get there. Just trust me. We'll get to frying pans. And if your question still stands, you could ask it. Okay? For now... But the pashup shot is if you use no oil, it's not tigun. That's not what the Shulchan Aruch, that's not what the Rishonim are arguing about.
Food. He says food, we never found that food, if you didn't use any water, it's called the ayde or.
Sure it is. We'll get there. Okay. Trust me. Just wait. Now so this is a fascinating thing. Okay. So, but as I said, other than that unusual case, so most poskim don't seem to accept this graz, but it does come up, and it's something to keep in mind. Okay, so what about knives? So as we said before, we have a stira in the Gemara's about knives. The Gemara Psachim, very interesting Gemara, on the Lamed Amid Beis. Ravina says to Ravashi, how do you kasher knives for Pesach? So Ravashi said, oh, I get new ones. And Ravina says back to him, okay, Bishlam, you're rich. But what about the rest of us? And he says, oh, no, I don't really get new ones. Ke'en chadet avida. And he tells them his tremendous chap how to do libun on a knife. You cover up the handle with stuff, and then you could do libun on it. And then the Gemara says, oh, yeah, but hilchos ha'idi vidi b'roschen. So the conclusion of the Gemara is you need hagala, and that's it. So the question is, why? And how does this... How is this consistent with the Gemara elsewhere, which says that you need Liban for knives? So as we mentioned, Taisfis, the Ravid, and others say Chametz Kodem Pesach is Hetera Bala, and Hetera Bala, Hagala works even if it's something that needs Liban. The Rif, the Rosh and Psachim, disagree. They say no, that when it comes to something that really needs libun, like an askala, shvod, so then you do need libun for Pesach. And the Ran points out clearly they hold chametz is isur abala. This is the view of the Ramban as well. So then, how do you explain the Gemara in Psachim that says you can use hagala for a knife? And the answer is because it's Rov Tashmishan. So, as we talked about yesterday. So, the point basically is that there are two ways to explain, and the Rishonim, why you could do Hagalah for a knife. Fine. So how do we paskin? So the Magen Avraham Sifkat and Vav writes that since the Rama in Sivav says that we don't hold the Rav Tashmisho, and we also treat Chametz as Isura Bala, so it turns out that you can't do Liban on knives. Hagalah, correct. You can't do Hagalah on knives. That's what the Magen Avraham writes. So the Rebbe Kiva Eger on that, and Cain's and the Prima Gunner says, I don't understand. This is a great chumrah. It makes sense in Cheshbon, but you can't say it because it's against the Gemara. The Gemara, in the end of the day, says Hagalah works. Right? The Havamina of the Gemara was, it doesn't work. But, and you could say we're Machmir Misafik against both of the answers that we've shown them. We're Machmir for Rov Tashmisho, and we're Machmir that it's Yisur Bala. But L'chora, you still can't paskin against the Gemara. In the end of the day, one of those answers must be right. So therefore we're Mekel, says Rebbe Kiva Eger. In the Mishnah Brura, there's a bit of a stira. If you take a look, the Mishnah Brura in Sifkat Mem Ches writes, over there, v'chol davar, v'chli revu adin, im yishol shanash v'lvamim al-yidei or, tzach libun, dafka. So he writes that any time there's a chshash, that it was sometimes used through libun, then you have to be machmir. Sounds like he's choshev for the Magen Avraham. In other words, even though it's talking about chametz, it's suffik, you know, hater bal according to many Rishonim, and also it's only miyot tashmisho, but the Mishnah Brura in Sifkat Mem Ches is machmir. But if you look at the Mishnah Brura, in Sifkat Mem Yud Tes, when he talks about Tzakinim, he's Mekel. Right? I suppose. You know, there's one place he's Machmir for Hetera Bala plus Rov Tashmisho, and the other place he's Mekel. So I think he's basically accepting the Kasha Rikiveger. He says, it's true, but we can't be Machmir for knives. We can't be Machmir against the Gemara. The Gemara says it's Mutter. So at the end of the day, you have to be Mekel. So therefore, in the end of the day, Mikra Din, you definitely can kasha knives. We paskin l'hakel against Magen Avraham, you can kasha the knives through Hagalah. But the Magen Avraham and the Taz both quote the Paitan. Oh, anyone go to a shul that they say Yotzros for Shavuos Hagadol, they would know this. What?
Maybe you used to, but once you realize, you don't anymore.
No, it's not a very popular
shul.
I
see.
There's not one shul on the Lower East Side that does not say Yotzros.
And that's
for
the Lower East Side,
is what it's. That would explain the decline of the Lower East Side.
The shul that I got at, the Mizrahi, where they have like Gush Katif signs everywhere, says Yotzros 5 times a year.
There we go. Okay, so you will know from your Yotzros recitation, and everybody else will know because Tosfos quotes the Paitan also, that L'chatchila, you shouldn't machshir knives. And there are different explanations why this chumra is. The Taz, either we're choshish for bekimos, or we're choshish for chaluda, the Magen Avraham, the Taz, each sort of has their own explanation of why it is best not to kasher knives. But l'chora, the pashut pshat is that we don't derive from here that generally you should not use Hagalah. You're allowed to kasher for Pesach, and we assume that this is special for knives, and this can even be seen in the Gemara, because the Gemara says that Rav Ashi was machmir, and you know that's what the Magen Avraham is pshat, and what Kein Chadata means, whatever it is. For knives, there's a basis for chumrah. In other words, and there are some other things that we recommend l'chatchila to be machmir, not to cut, not to kasher. Like the Mishnah Berurah says this about koso shel schuchas, because lefamim mishtamshim b'alidei, or other things. But the poskim don't cite a general chumrah that you shouldn't rely on Hagalah. We mentioned, by the way, yesterday about the concern with knives, about the gaps, and whether or not you have to worry about that nowadays. So there's no...
You can use Hagalah for knives, but there's no rumors.
Yes, I understand. But...
We don't pass like that.
Well, the Magen Avraham we said is machmir, not to do Hagala. We said we're machmir, we're makel against the Magen Avraham, right? Like Rebbe Kiveger, that Hagala does work. But still, we do accept that there's a chumrah, an appropriate chumrah, to be machmir, based off of the Paitan. That's quoted by the Taz and the Magen Avraham. I'm just saying that you could have read that line as saying, oh, you see from here, general chumrah, better to buy new kelim for Pesach, and don't kasher, right? There's a chumrah. We have a lot of chumras by Pesach. I'm asking, was that a good chumrah? So I'm answering, no. That's not the pshat in this chumrah. It's dafka by knives, where there's more of a concern for problems. What the concern is, I'm the Magen Avraham, the Taz, whatever it is, but it's dafka, chumrah by knives. But if you want to kasher your forks, or your pots, or the like, where that chumrah isn't relevant, then lachar, it's 100% lachatchila. Now, that being said, I've heard many great rabbanim who, when people ask them shilas about Hilchos Pesach, they say, I just buy new ones, what are you kashering this for? It's so cheap nowadays, and you could afford it, and this and that. So, I don't think the pshat is that they're, I'm not sure what the pshat is. Maybe they're taking this idea of the Paitan and extending it to all kelim, but that's a little fair. There's no basis for it. I think they're saying, I guess, that the laws are complicated and the like, so it's better to avoid it if you could afford it. I'm not sure. But the pashat is that for most kelim, again, assuming you follow the halachos properly and the like, there's no reason not to kasher them. But for knives, we say, no, for knives, you should get new knives for Pesach. Again, assuming you could afford a set of Pesach knives. Okay, yes?
I haven't found like that a little bit in the Gemara, because it says to the wealthy person. Like,
right, that's what we said. That's why the Paita and Dafka, in this case, buy knives. So there's more room to be made there.
The Gemara,
yeah. That's what the Magen Avraham already makes, that diuk. Okay. Fine. I wanted to tell you, but we don't have time. I'm going to tell you in 30 seconds, and you probably won't appreciate it. But it says in the Mishnah, just because it's a fascinating deal, Kasak and Shafa Vihitaira, right? So how do you kasher a knife? You sharpen it. So most of the Rishonim say that means in addition to Hagala, you have to do this, right? But if you look at the Rambam writes that just this. So what's the pshat?
The
hand
is also, right?
What?
So that the Ramban goes to the hand like that also.
Yeah. So Rav Willick thinks the pshat is that's because the Gemara, the Bavli, says what is pshat and libun? It takes out the outer layer. And for tzli, how much in does tzli go? Klipa. So memela, that's all you need.
Netila?
Klipa. According to Rambab. We pass in
netila. This is like the makel reading.
So
reading of the Rambam.
Yeah. So at least for Kalim, though, especially for Kalim, right? For Kalim, there's less Pafua. Now, so that's what he wanted to say. And therefore, it would come out then that, let's say, something like a self-clean wouldn't work for the Rambam. Right? Because it doesn't remove the outer layer the way we do it. But we don't pass like the Rambam. The only Ha'ara is, why then wouldn't Libun... Why would Liban work for Kli Cheres? Unless, maybe say Panu Chadash, maybe it does take out the outer layer? I don't know. Okay, fine. So let's talk about frying pans. So the Rashba writes like this, that Mach Vashem etagnem bo tzrichen Liban. Why? It's considered Tashmish al Yidei Eish. Why? Hashem enenu mahalich al pnei kula vihibolas ha'isr mimakom she'en Hashem en tzafalav. So I will tell you, in my apartment in Washington Heights, if you put a frying pan with not a lot of oil in, not but some oil, after a minute, all the oil goes to one side of the pan. Now, I assume that's because my floor is crooked. Right. Okay. So you straighten up your thing. So we never bothered. So we're somech on the Rashba. So it's sometimes like half your food is burnt and half is deep fried, but. But anyway, the point is that this happens. And therefore, the chelak of the frying pan where the oil is not there, so that's like tashmish al yedei or. And since that's common enough, you'll need to do libun on your frying pan. Now, the Rush cites that the Rav Yah's father was also machmir sorry, the Rav Yoel, yeah, his father's name was Rabbeinu Yoel. But he argued with him. Unfortunately, he only argued with his father after his father passed away. So we know his tain is against his father. We don't know what his father would say back. In Rishivan Asari Lachar Misaso. But anyway, the Rav Yoel brings two rayos that he's right. Number one is the Gemara Pesachim, Lenyan Chala. That Chala, if you do Tigun, it's considered Bishel. It's like Bishel. You don't need to take, if you fry your donuts, even if you don't deep fry your donuts, you shallow fry your donuts. I don't know if that's the word. So you shallow fry your donuts, so it's like Bishel, it's like, just like you don't have to take Chala for spaghetti, you don't have to take Chala for donuts, Gevaldik.
I think it's just called
frying. All right. So, that is, that's raya number one. Now, that's a fascinating raya, Agav, because, I don't know, maybe Chala has different hagdaros. Maybe when it comes to the halachos of blios, where our mitzias concern is, do the blios go in or not? So if there's no liquid, then there's a chshash. And we have a slightly different definition when it comes to hafrashas chala or the like. But obviously, the Rav Yoel held no, that there's one definition. Now, this might work better, according to your favorite tzad, that when it comes to kashrus, we look at things like our categories. Just like for challah, we have categories. We have bishul, we have tzli, we have tigun, whatever it is. So too for cooking and the determination of what mode of kashrus is appropriate. That we treat it like bishul with respect to hilchos challah. And raya number two is from the Tosefta and Avodah Zarah that says, Hayoros umechame chamin hataganim vakumkumusin medichan derosan. It says meforish taganim, frying pans, and it says you just need to do hagala. Good. Those are his rayos. The Rosh himself.
Who says they're talking about tilted or anything? Maybe there's oil.
We always assume, as we noted yesterday, the general assumption is that the Metzias in the Rishonim's times is like the Metzias in the Gemara, unless we say otherwise. Lamaisa, it's very common in frying. The Rosh himself, though, is Machmir, like the Rashba. He says the Chshash a little differently. It's a similar idea. He says it's not because of the tilting Chshash, it's because Shema Nisraf HaShemen. Right? In other words, a lot of times, you start off with plenty of oil, but by the time you're finished, there's no oil left. It gets sucked into the food, I guess. But the point is, again, that at some there's a concern, a Metzias concern, here. Okay. So what about the rayos that the Rav Yoel brought? So as we said, the first raya, perhaps you could be docha, that the chal is different, that here it's tali and blios. In terms of the, you could also, agav, it's not such a raya from chala, because many Rishonim think we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan anyway. We say, so we might not even, right, there's a machlokas v'yochanan v'yesh lakish in terms of chala. So anyway, we might be machmir on that shayla. But one way or the other, that raya is easy to be docha. In terms of the raya from the Tosefta, so the Rashba is docha, and he said, look, it's true that Tosefta says that, but the Gemara quotes that raya and leaves out frying pans. So, ein lemeidin min haTosaftos. You know, we paskin like the Gemara against the Tosefta in the event that there's a stira. Fine. So, that explains the machmirim. Now, the bigger question is, what about the mekilin? How can, you know, what about this mitzias concern? Right? Isn't it true that sometimes that there isn't any oil when you fry? It's a reality. So, there's two answers to this question. Answer number one is the ra'ah. Get there. Answer number one is the ra'ah. The ra'ah is a fascinating thing. The ra'ah writes that this is not considered, this does not require libun. Meaning to say as follows, there's a basic machlokas about what tashmishu alidei ha'or means between the Rashba and the Ra'ah. The Rashba understands that tashmishu alidei ha'or means, or let's say, what hagala is sufficient only when it cooks via the medium of a liquid. So that's true for boiling, any cooking, whatever we call bishul, and also tigun if there is plenty of oil, right? The Rashba certainly agrees that if there was enough oil, if you always used plenty of oil, or your floor was flat, so it would be good enough. Meaning to say, why? But if you run out of oil, if your floor isn't flat, so then that requires liban. Because the question is, was this cooked via medium of liquid? Then hagal is enough. Or was it cooked without the medium of liquid? In other words, directly from the heat of the fire. And then you need liban. The Ra'ah says, no, he says a little differently. He says that when do you need liban? You need liban when it's roe penei ha'or. The food, as it were, literally sees the fire. Like a skewer, right? Or a grill, or the like. There's fire, there's food. But when you have a hefsek between the fire and the food, like in a frying pan, even if there was no oil, so that's not roe penei ha'or. That's not what requires liban, because the fire does not touch the food. And therefore, liban is not necessary. So that's one answer. Answer number two. And
it's a much more expensive method.
Correct. Answer number two, which the Rosh already writes, is, one second. If you're going to be machmir for this, for the oil running out, right? So maybe, like, you know, Rabbeinu Yoel says, so maybe every time you cook, you also have to be machmir. Because you could be cooking spaghetti, and if you, you have the fire on too high and you forget to stir it, so the spaghetti will burn at the bottom of the pot, right? When you drain your pot from the water, you'll see spaghetti stuck to the bottom. So if you really think that every time there's no liquid, you require liban. So pot should require liban, and we never heard of that. Nobody ever said you need to do liban on a pot. But one second, it's meisim b'chol yom. You know, it depends on how close you pay attention. Do you remember to lower the fire, and do you remember to stir? But it's meisim b'chol yom that spaghetti burns, and yet everybody says for a pot, all you need is hagala. So a kochach, this isn't a chash. Well, why not? So maybe it's because there's lachluchas betavshil, and even though it's yavesh bedof me'akdeira, meaning it's at the bottom of the pot, at the point of contact, it's dry, but it somehow or another moistens, the fact that there's moisture in the area prevents that those deeply entrenched blios that require liban and that for which hagala doesn't suffice. Now, in the pot, now, the Aruch HaShulchan over here, Sifkat Yud Aleph, writes that, there's a difference between a pot with spaghetti that sometimes gets burnt on the bottom and a frying pan. Maybe in one case it's a chashash rachok, that's why you don't need to do liban, but a frying pan, it's very common, then you would have to do liban. But l'chora the pshat is that when there's liquid in this pot, which includes oil in the frying pan, then that is, does spread, and even though it, by the end is dried up, but the whole time it was there, and even if it's only on one half of the frying pan, but it still has an effect on the whole frying pan, and therefore, that is the svara of the Mekilim. And the Bir Halacha writes, on Sif Yud Aleph, that Rov Poskim are Mekil, like the Ravya, and the Maskana of the Rush. And they say that really, Hagala is enough for a frying pan. So, basically, I guess if you want to go back to those rayos, lahachmir, so there's two svaros lahakel. One is in lamdos, we don't treat this as chal, like chala. That's the machlokas we've shown them. Now, so how do we paskin? Yeah.
It's worth mentioning, it happens in cholent all the time. So if you have a very liquidy cholent, there's always a solid layer on the bottom that's burnt. Even.
Right. So yesh lachkor, even would the mekilim be mekil for cholent? right? So maybe not. Maybe because it's cooked, it's such a sustained thing, and you could argue. Pashtus is a mekilin, would even be makel by chalant. But you could argue, you know, what about the machmirim? Would they be makel for something like oatmeal or rice? No. The mekil, the machmirim, what would they say about oatmeal and rice? Where at the end you don't have water, right? In other words, how much do they accept this kasha? So there's Yeshlachkor. Rav Yashiv I saw in the Dirshu, note 55, is Makel as long as Rov Tashmish was things that use actual water. This comes up, anyone, for old Israelis among you, Sir Pella. No? Know what it is? Nah. In the olden days in Israel, people didn't have ovens. They had like a single burner. So they used to use the sir pella. They used to be able to make, it's a wonder pot. You can make anything on it. Like, I had a great aunt who was around in those days. She used to like bake cakes and bake challahs and the like on stovetops. Because she like learned how to cook using these. And like, nobody in the modern generation could figure out how in the world she did this. But she, sir pella all the way. So she would make roast beef on the stovetop. She could do everything. She couldn't understand why anybody needed an oven. Anyway, so
isn't that a Pashut Svara?
So that's the Shiloh. What would you say in that case? The Rosh Svara.
Gvalda.
Well, we don't accept Rov Tashmisha. We know that.
It's in the Shulchan Aruch that it is Rishon. Why are no?
But the Ramah. Okay, good. We. You're a Svardi, maybe. I don't know why Mashkenazi. What do you mean we don't accept it? We're Choshev. We don't generally accept Rav Tashmisha. So it's a Chiddush to apply Rav Tashmisha in this case. Sorry?
No, okay.
Fine. How'd that get off the floor? So, Lemaisa.
Why are we saying that that's going to require Nibush?
That's Basar. But we're Machmir for Chamei to treat it as Yisur Bala. It won't help here. Or this would be no gay.
That you need Libun, and then the question was if Rabash is a Ryan, but I'm not sure why would you need.
Let's go back to if you. I'll explain the Shulchan Aruch later. Look it up, okay? Good. So how do we paskin? So the Ramaz Machmir by Machvas Lachatila to be Machshirit, but lets you get away with Libun Kal. Are we Machmir because were Choshe Shema Nisraf, or because that's Mikra Adin?
Who says you can do Libun Kal?
I'm sorry?
Who just says you
the Ramah. The Ramah says explicitly. Darki Moshe and Shulchan Aruch. So, is it because of Mikra Adin, or just Chashash, right? What would be a Nafkamina if you know Lo Nisraf HaShemen? Right? Let's say, for example, I go ahead and, I don't know, I use a milchika spatula on a fleishik frying pan to saute onions. But I know that by the time I finish, I look and there's still plenty of oil left at the end, which is common when you're sauteing onions. So would you say over there that you could be makel? Because since the whole time to be machmir, ishemen isyabe shashemen. So l'chore, that's the mashmos of the poskim. In that case, you could be mekel if you know that there was oil at the end. In other words, even though we are machmir for frying pans, that's if you know. Now, what comes out then is, therefore, there are three theoretical cases about how to treat a frying pan. In a case where there's plenty of oil, let's say deep frying, or just plenty of oil, everybody's going to agree that Hagal is enough, right? Now, this is the point that I said before that Shmuel didn't like. In the case of where you don't use any oil, you have a nonstick frying pan and you use zero oil, and probably you spray a little spray there or the like, but there's basically no oil. So then everybody agrees we're going to be machmir. Now, it's true, if you hold it the ra'ah, then you could be makel. But remember, if you hold the tzad lahakel that the rush gives, that the moisture of the oil spreads, things like that, So then here where there's zero oil, you'd have to be machmir, zero oil, or the poskim say, you know, next to no oil. You just lose, like, spray to prevent, to give some lubrication, but the cooking is directly. So even though the ra'ah would be mako in that case, right? Because the ra'ah says it doesn't matter. Even zero oil, hagala was enough. We don't accept that ra'ah. So we're going to be machmir in that case. And when is there machlokas? The machlokas is dam frying, right? So there, the Ramah says, l'chatchila we're machmir. L'chatchila we're machmir. But we're mekel enough to let you get away with libun kal. Now, the question is, do we ever throw in the ra'ah l'hakel was a sniff? So I remember once asking Rabbi Willard a shayla, and he threw in the ra'ah as a sniff l'hakel. In other words, which allowed him to get away with libun kal. Because if you totally forgot the ra'ah, then if you had a frying pan that you used with zero oil, then you would need libun chamor. And a lot of times you can't do libun chamor in frying pans because it would ruin the frying pan, especially if it has like a plastic or rubber handle or the like. Simply couldn't withstand it. So, or oftentimes also, if it's made out of Teflon, it'll get wrecked. But that's usually the ones that you use zero oil on. Anyway, so he wasn't willing to rely on it on his own, but a lot of times in Yishayla is there other tzadim l'hakel. And it turns out it's not just the Ra'ah who says this. The Sefer Olam Moed says this. The Orzarua more or less says this. That this is the pshat. So there are other mekilin behind the Ra'ah, even though, again, Rov Poskim are definitely machmir. Fine.
Case of frying with oil, most of the cases where you would say libun kal would be the
in typical cases where you use oil, libun kal is enough. But in cases where you just spray and you use basically kim'at no oil, just a little bit, you know, for some lubrication, so then I think the poskim are machmir, and they would require libun gamor again. But what Ray Willig maintains is that there are other tsirufim, in the case that I said he was mako based off of the ra'ah, when there were other tsirufim lahakel, it was a davar charav shayla, so we know that there are other, it was an onion davar charav shayla. So Ray Willig thinks that the ra'ah is not something that totally rejected. In this case, the other tzad lahakel was also the shulchan aruch harav, which will always save you in basar b'chalav shaylas. Right, not always. Half the time, if you use bus, if you had, it, but yeah, well, okay. Yeah, no, it would save you. It would save you. Mm-hmm. Fine. Okay, fine. There's some interesting Ein HaNeser shailas about this, but I think you've all had enough Ein HaNeser. Anyway, we're late. Okay, fine. So in terms of the Pesach of the Mechaber, though, there's a bit of a stira. Because in Shulchan Aruch, Yerodeya Kuf Chaf Aleph Siv Dalad, he writes that for Chameit Tzitzdai Bagala, Shar Isurin, you need Liban. So what's the Pshat? So the Rugra over there in Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph Siv Kantas writes that he paskened really like the Rosh, that Hagala is enough. There's Makom Lahachmir, so by Shar Isurin he's Mahachmir. But by Chameitz, you could be mitztarif the opinions at Hetera Bala, and therefore you could be Mekel. So in other words, even though the Mechaber generally does treat Chameitz as Yisura Bala, but he throws in the Rishonim that say Hetera Bala when there are other factors. And so here, basically, will be mitztarif the view that anyway, Hagala is enough for a frying pan, with the opinion that Chameitz is Hetera Bala, in which case, even if you needed... Even if for Isser you would need Liban, but for Hater Bala Hagala certainly enough, and that's the explanation of the Mechaber's Psak, which makes a lot of sense. The Shach quotes a very fascinating Rama Mipano, This is Shach's over there in Sif Katan Chas. Has a very different explanation as to why, what the Pshat in the Mechaber is. He says, the difference is like this. The difference is how, what was their direct blios from the food into the frying pan. So he says, think about it this way. When it comes to chametz, says oil ever chametz? No. Right? What's the oil made out of? Canola oil, corn oil. Exactly.
Right.
The oil's never chametz. Olive oil. But so how does a frying pan become a chametz stick? Because you're making pancakes, you're making schnitzel, right? So the chametz is absorbed into the frying pan via the medium of oil, which isn't chametz. So that's why Hagala works. Whereas when you're kashering from Isser, so how does, let's say a guy, you buy this frying pan from a guy. So what do they use? They use schmaltz, right? How do they fry? They use lard, right? Maybe nowadays all the oils are kosher, right? But they used to use lard. So now there was a direct infusion of Isser into the frying pan. So when does the Mechaber say you need libun for a frying pan? That's because there's a direct infusion of the Isser into the frying pan. And when does the Mechaber say you don't need libun, Hagala suffices? That's when it's an indirect infusion. And chametz is always an indirect infusion because you use oil and oil is never chametz. Now, there are some that object to the Shach's reading of the Ramami Pano. Won't get into that. Not everybody thinks the Shach read it right. Take a look at Rabbi Yehuda and others. Some so fair. The Chazon Ish says even if he read it right. So that's one objection they have. But the Chazon Ish says, okay, that's fine, but it's against all the Rishonim. Now, there's all the Rishonim that are machmir for frying pans. It has nothing to do with this vart of the Ramabi Pano, that there's a direct infusion of the food into the pot, versus in cases where you require Hagala, it's because it goes through the medium of a liquid. Rather, why were they machmir? They're machmir because the oil ran out on one side, or because it got burnt up, or whatever it is. So, even if it's a beautiful explanation, it doesn't accord with the Rishonim, and it doesn't make sense. Now, there's obviously going to be nafkaminas if you think like the pshat of the Shach versus the other pshat. Let's say we'll call it the Gra, right? Let's say you have a milchix or fleishix frying pan. So, if you hold of the first pshat, so it's a terabala, right? First pshat meaning the Gra. But if you hold of the Ramami Pano, you wouldn't be'etzem, because you use butter, so it's direct infusion of milchix, or you use schmaltz, direct infusion of fleishix. And therefore it would be a problem. I could say, well, that doesn't make sense, because it's heterabala anyway, right? So heterabala, even if it was direct, Hagala would work. But let's say you didn't hold the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and then you messed up, right? You used your frying pan for schmaltz, and then you used it for butter. So then, if you hold like the Ramami Pano, it would only require libun, if according to Mechaber. If you hold like let's say the Gra, assuming that there was plenty of liquid, that your butter and oil didn't burn up, you wouldn't. So anyway, there are other nafkaminas. That's that discussion. Okay. Now, another discussion that the Rishonim here discuss is, what about if you do Hagala, can you do Hagala to use only Bechamin? And this sort of gets to the basic question of why does an Hagala work when it needs Libun? In other words, let's say I go ahead and this was once used, or even a bunch of times used, for Alidei Ha'or, right? But I'm only going to use it Alidei Roschen. So could it aser my food? Right? So what's the pshat? So the Beis Yosef over here, and Simon Kof Chaf Aleph, Sif Hey, says, Yesh Mekilim Bezeh. The Ran is Machmir. So what's the pshat? Why? What's a tzad l'hachmir? And what's a tzad l'hakel? So, l'chora, the pshat is how do you understand why Hagala doesn't work? Right? Is it pshat that the Mekilim say, look, whatever would come out in Bishul would come out through Hagala, right? So it's true, you couldn't roast on this treif kli, but you could cook in this treif kli, because if these blios were going to come out, they would have come out through Hagala. And if they didn't come out through Hagala, then they're not going to come out through subsequent cooking, right? So what is the other tzad? So the other tzad is no. Very interesting idea, which is that they don't, there's such a thing as blios that will not come out every time. It's almost like a klicheres. Some of them will come out when you do Hagala, but some will remain in. And then the next time you cook, they might come out a little more, or a little more, a little more. There's sort of two qualities of blios. There's low-quality blios, which will always come out in Hagala, and then they're gone, and they're done. You don't have to ever worry again that they'll come out, and that's the basis of Hagala working. And then there's high-quality blios. High-quality blios are when they came in through Cheres. They can't be guaranteed to be removed through Hagala. So therefore, they come out a little this time, a little next time, just like Kli Cheres. And what do the Mekilim hold? The Mekilim hold, no. That, like we said before, the Rabbi Willig said it a little different. He said that they go in deeper. So if they didn't come out the first time, they won't come out subsequently. But they would come out through through using Alideh Or. Either way, it's an interesting question that does seem to be a machlokes rishonim. Okay. Yeah.
And they said that it'll come out subsequently official or
no, the Ran says it'll come out, everybody would agree it'll come out Alideh Or, right? That's why everybody agrees you need Liban to make it truly kosher. Mm-hmm. The Ran says it would come out even Alideh Bishul. The Machmirim hold it would even come out of the Bishul. In other words, they're treating it like a Kli Cheres with respect to these blios. As I was saying, they're high-quality blios. That, and it's only low-quality blios that you know will entirely be removed through Hagala. Another way to look at it is like the Chazon Ish we referred to yesterday, but we'll leave that out. In other words, anyway, Hechsher Kelim is like Exer Sakasev. You don't actually know that when you do Hagala, all the blios left. The Torah says you could act that way. It's not necessarily the Metzius, which is why when you don't do something that counts as Hagala, then the Kli is still Aser to use. Fine. Now, I guess that brings us to another basic question, which is, how does Hagala work? So, l'chor the pshat is that when you do Hagala, all the blios leave. And even though they might come back in, that's no problem. And that's the reason why, now that's the reason why we say that you need Shishim or you need Eino Ben Yomo or the like. And again, unless you take the Chazon Ish approach, which you say, you don't even know they all came out, but it's like the Gzeres HaKasav that it works. But let's say the Pashup shot. So that being the case, that's how Hagala works. So then, you always have to be worried about reabsorption, right? So how do you avoid that problem with Hagala? So there are four ways, I guess, to absorb reabsorption. The most obvious way is shishim. Make sure that there's shishim keneged the kli shel iser. Now this obviously only works before Pesach, because on Pesach we treat chametz as an iser mashu. So you couldn't do Hagala on Pesach if you're relying on Shishim. But you could do Chametz Hagala before Pesach. Now you might ask, one second, but what about the opinions that say Chametz is Chozer V'Neyor, even B'Mashehu? So why should that work? And L'chor we pask in that way. So the answer is no. The Prima Gadim says that it's a Mishpatot Zav base, that since it's no Sein Tam L'fgam, and also not Barnat, Kulei Hai Lo Echmimu. So we'll have to say what that means. Brings us to the next way it works. So the next way you could use Hagala, obviously this doesn't work for Isser, but it's based off of not bar not. Right? What does that mean? If you think that Chametz is Hetera Bala, so it goes out into the water, and that water then would be Tam Sheni, and it goes back into the pot, but now the pot will be Tam Shlishi. And that's the basis. Now that's really a much more potent way of doing Hagala, because it's going to work even if there isn't Shishim and even if it's Ben Yomo. Right? That's really the most ideal way of doing Hagala. The problem is, as we noted before, that we paskin that Chametz is Yisura Bala, in which case L'chora, this will not work. Now we already pointed this out when we did the Sugya of Not Bar Not. But sorry?
Pilsen Kulin say this explicitly of Chametz being Tam Shlishi on
there. Yeah. No, absolutely. The question is, would we accept this method of kashering for Pesach? Right? This would definitely work for Bas Mechalav. But the question is, would it work for, in other words, right, you know, would it work for Chametz and Pesach? So the problem is that there's a stira in the Mechaber, because on the one hand the Mechaber seems to be mako to allow you to use Hechsher Kalim for not bar not, and on the other hand he's also machmir to treat Chametz as Yisura Bala. So that's why the Grav writes that we don't allow for this method of kashering, because we paskin in Simon Tafnun Aleph Sif Dalid that Chametz is Yisura Bala v'haraya shvod. And Askela, we say you need to do Libun. We don't allow you to do Hagala. In other words, the two halachos of Hetera Bala are the same. And therefore, if you're going to do Hechsher Kalim for Pesach, even Kodim Zman Isser, you're either going to need Shishim or Nosin Tam Lefgam. And that's also the view of the Pri Chadash and the Bir Halacha. Fine. But we mentioned this last time, so we won't go into the reasons now. But the Chazon Ish, this is Kuf Yud Tas Yud Dalet, points out that it's muchach from the Rosh and the Ramban that there's a chiluk. That even though with respect to Hechsher Kalim, we're going to treat it as Isur Bala. When I say Hechsher Kalim, meaning to say you'll need Libun for a Shvod. But with respect to Not Bar Not, we see it as Hetera Bala. And the Aruch HaShulchan makes a similar point in Sif Gimel. And the point is that, remember, these are two different sugyos, right? We have the sugya of Napar Nat, and we have the sugya of Avzara of Isura Bala, Hetera Bala with respect to Hechsher Kalim. And who says they're the same? Now, the Rashba definitely holds they're the same. If you remember, the Rashba Tzush tells them. The Rashba explaining the sugya of Avzara that says that you could do Hagalah in a Kli, in, you know, in the Shvod that was Balea Chatas, because this is just like Not Bar Not. So the Rashba thinks that there's one parsha of Hetera Bala, and they work the same way in both instances. And he explains exactly, you know, the pshat, why they should be the same. The pshat is that when you do Hagala, it's Nismai to Isser, and therefore the Isser can't be Chal on it, and the like. However, other Rishonim disagree, and this might relate to why you think Not Bar Not works, as we pointed out when we did Not Bar Not and the like. So there's a machlokes basically whether you could rely on this kula for Hechsher Kalim of Not Bar Not. Well, Maisa, we're going to be machmir, and not for the Mahalich of the Chazon Ish, for the Mahalich of the Gra and others, who would say that, well, we can't really rely on this kula for Pesach. So the third kula, which we already alluded to, is Eino Ben Yomo, it's no Sein Tam L'fgam. So then even if there isn't Shishim, but it doesn't asher the water, and this too, at least if you hold like the Ramah, will also only work before Pesach, right? So far, three of our kulas only work before Pesach. Now, we talked about last time whether, when we did the ashes sugya, whether you could artificially create this situation by being machnes davar pogem, even if it's ben yomo. Could you try to do without shishim ben yomo by being machnes davar pogem? We saw the Chazon Ish says that would work as long as you really know it was totally pogem, everything inside of it. Other poskim are machmir, because Lamaisa, the Shach, and the Gra disagree with that, Psak of the Mechaber, or even if you accept it, Rav Moshe points out, even if it would work, L'chatchila, we paskin that you only do Hagala with water. We don't L'chatchila allow you to do Hagala with Shar Mashkim, and maybe this wouldn't work. Rav Moshe says, if you're in a pinch, it's a Shas Adchak, you could do this method, but you need to do Hagala twice. The first time to kasher it, and the second time, once it's Pagum, then you could do actually do the Haggalah with water. Anyway, we mentioned that other poskim say that maybe if you use ammonia or the like, since it has the same viscosity of water, it's not considered Shar Mashkim. Fine, so we discussed that already. And finally, the fourth theoretical way to be machshir, which works even if there's no shishim and even if it's ben yomo, all three of these only work before Pesach, and this one could actually work on Pesach. Because the Ramah's machmir for nosin tamafgam on Pesach, that we're machmir for enu ben yomo on Pesach. Remember, because if you think it's only al tzbitl and you think chametz is in nisar mashehu, so it won't work. So the fourth mahalich, which would theoretically work on Pesach, it's very practically how to do it, is we know that the Gemara says that Aidi detard lemiflat lo bala. So if you could capture that magical moment when you put the kli into the boiling hot water and it was polite everything, but it still had not yet reabsorbed, so that theoretically, even if there's no shishim, and even if it's ben yomo, it could work. But again, that's practically impossible, among other things, because we already saw that there's a whole bunch of Mahachim and Rishonim what exactly that sweet spot is. And they don't necessarily overlap. So that basically means that none of these Heterim are going to work on Pesach, which is why you have to make sure you do your Haggalah before the Isser Chametz sets in. Now the pashtus is if you use libun, though, that should work on Pesach. Why? Because libun burns out the blios. We don't require bittel, and therefore why wouldn't that work on Pesach? If you take a look at the Prima Gadim in Mishpatzo Zahav Dalet, he says you shouldn't do it on Pesach. Kevan she'enu sarif habalua rak maflito menakli yesh lochosh shema yachzer v'yivla. In other words, he's concerned that Liban doesn't just burn up the blios where they are, but there is this concern. We talked about at the first year, I think, whether Liban works through Kibol Lo Kach Polto or not. We saw different Mashmoyos and Rishonim. Anyway, as we said, the Prima Gadim is Machmir on this. If you look at the Magen Avraham, Taf Nun Beis, Sif Katan Vav, he writes L'chatchila, I will leave that out. Fine. If you look at Mishneh Berurah, Sifkan Yud Gimel, he writes, L'chatchila, you should be makbid to be machshir, eino ben yomo chishim. These, if you didn't get up to it yet, you'll see. These discussions are mostly in Siman Tafan and Beis. L'chatchila, you should be machmir to be machshir by using both eino ben yomo and shishim. Now, that's a very big chumrah, because why would you need both, right? Why would you need both, Eino ben yomo and shishim? And if you look at the Bir Halacha, he already notes that the minug is to be meikel. And that, I think, is the minug. I think. When you go, if you ever gone to the shuls that have the Hagalas Kalim, so they have a big pot, and they have a big sign, make sure your kli is Eino ben yomo. And then they don't seem to insist on shishim, because if you're machmir for shishim and eino ben yomo, so even if you have the shishim the first couple times you use it, right? But there's a long line of people being machshir kli after kli after kli. So in total, you certainly wouldn't have shishim. Well, that would be a question. If you really were machmir, then we'd presumably say chozer v'neir, because it's no same time, right? We follow the shach. So that's why we really are.
That happens in a ben yomo, meaning in mano shach.
No, that's the question. Why would you ever be machmir to require both? In other words, again, I'm not sure what the Mishnah Berurah means. If you take the Mishnah Berurah literally, it does sound like you should be machmir for both. The question is why? Is there any objection to the kula of just eino ben yomo? So I guess right. If I understood why he was machmir, then maybe I could hear your pshat. Now, another question is, when does this man iser kick in? Theoretically, we know midi oraisa, it's in the sixth hour. Midi rabbanan, chametz is already somewhat aser in the fourth hour, and more aser in the fifth hour. The pashta says you already have to be machmir in the fourth hour. You could clear about the fifth hour. You could clear, though, about the fourth hour. We already talked about the brisker rav. Maybe it's only an iser gavra, it's not an iser chefza, it's mutter banat, it's not mishim chametz, isn't that? So I guess if we have time, we can get back to that shaila, but if not, ayin sham for the discussion. No, it's very interesting, because the way the achronim read the Shulchan Aruch is into the pashtus in what it sounds like at first. Okay. Another question we have to consider here is, yeah.
What about the diabet? Kasha, like, before Pesach, you don't know if they got shishin.
You don't?
It's after the sixth hour, I guess. It was after the sixth hour before...
After the sixth hour, we'd be machmir. Yes, well, look, so straight Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Now, another question, do you need roschin, or is it enough to have yad so lettuce bow? So we already pointed out yesterday, a number of Yishonim sound like yad so lettuce bow is enough. And the pshat is that even though when you cooked, it might have been roschin, but like we said, Kabbalah, Kach Palta, we look at the categories. And in terms of the categories, so this, you know, they're the things that need Haggalah. It doesn't need to mimic the conditions in which it was boiled. As long as you have Yatzo Ladispo, that's enough. For example, this isn't identical, but along similar lines, Tosfos writes that according to Reinu Tam, that Iroi is Kikli Rishon, so you could kasher al yaday Iroi, right? Now, even though if you're doing Iroi, it's not the same, won't even be Roshin, right? By the time you do Iroi, but still, it doesn't matter. If you say Iroi Kikli Rishon, so this is Kli Rishon, and as long as it's in a category of Kli Rishon, so that's good enough. But the tour in Simen Tafnan Beis, in the Trumas Adeshin, in Simen Kuf Lamed Beis, say you need Roschen. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, Yesh Lizar Lahagyo Kodim Shachamishis, Kedei Shalitztach Lizar Shalo Yanuch Amayim Resichasan. So you could read the Shulchan Aruch saying the following, make sure to do Kodim Shachamishis so you don't have to be makbed that it doesn't stop boiling. In other words, as long as it's kodesh shachamishis, it's okay if it's not boiling, if it's not roschen. And that's the way the Ramah read the Mechaber, which is why he argues. He writes, Hagah, ach rabim cholken v'svir lehu, de'en hagala mo'eles klum im ein hamayim roschen. Alkein yesh lizar filu kodem zman yisur shalo yanuchum resichasan kol zman shemagil. So the Ramah is machmir, but he understood that the Mechaber is makil. But if you look at the Magen Avram and the like, he argues that the pashtus, even the Mechaber is machmir and the like. Others, though, the Gras of Katan Ches over there, says, no, you don't need Roschen, you only need a shir of Yad So Ledispo. And again, we mentioned this yesterday in explaining why Libun Kal works. It's much easier to explain how Libun Kal works if you think that Yatzo Ledispo is enough. fundamentally, because Libun Kal is also Yad Tzol Ed Hespo. And we say Libun Kal is no worse than Hagala. But if it's a lower temperature, then how could you say it's no worse? If you think, though, that Hagala also fundamentally only needs Yad Tzol Ed Hespo, it's much easier to say that. Okay, Ayin Sham, that the poskim discussed this extensively. Lamaisa, we're machmir, obviously, like the Rama, and therefore, practically speaking, you have to make sure that when you're koshering a bunch of things, that you wait for the boil to return, right? Let's say I'm koshering silverware. So I have a whole set of silverware to kosher, so I drop in a couple. So whenever you put something cold into the pot, the temperature will drop and it will stop boiling. So then you have to wait till it starts boiling again, till you can start putting in more things.
This is not machmir for shishi. You turn the entire pot with kim, you kosher.
We said, l'chora, if it's eino ben yomo, I think the minig is to be mako.
There's no minig chasidus, like Rebbe would
say. I don't know, I'm not sure. My impression is that we're mako. I don't know for sure, but my impression is the minig is to be mako, that if it's eino ben yomo, we're not machmir for shishi.
Can you just put it in and then, or just in the diagram where you drop it in? Like, it's probably easier just to leave it in.
So well, we'll talk about that in a moment. We'll talk about that in a minute when we talk about that question of how long you leave it in and the like, okay. And how you. But part of the issue is making sure you have appropriate exposure to the water when it's boiling. We'll get there in a second. But we are mako that if it's only Bala b'iroi, then you could be machshirit b'kli, that's not mala resichos, as the Mishnah Berurah points out. What's a din if b'dievet, you did hagala, but lo hala resichos, so the Shulchan Aruch Rav is machmir. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Gadim as being mesupik, and he concludes that if it's eno ben yomo, yesh l'tzadeid l'hakel. Fine. Which, for us, again, we practically almost always kasher Eino ben yomo, so that's an important tzad l'hakel. Now the next question is, how long do you have to keep the kli in the boiling water? So we already discussed this earlier, so we could do this quickly, but the Torah writes that the minag is l'hachnes hakelim shemagilan ulohotzian miyad. So that follows the view of Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos and Chulin, Kof Chasam Beis. The Taz, Sifkat and Beis, writes in the name of the Kolbo, no, not mamish miyad, ela yishar ktsas, kedei shiye p'nai l'resicha likanes ulahaflit mashabala. You need to give it some time. The Pichadash says, no, you could follow the Torah, miyad is enough, and minag Yisrael Torah, and the Shar Tzion says, l'chatchila tov l'hashus miyad. So, ma'at. So, l'chatchila, we try to be sure ma'at. As we said when we did the sugya already, this is totally in the machlokas rishonim as to how to understand mivla bala, miflat lo palat. So, I don't think we need to go into that again. I think that's what we try to do. We try to wait a second or two, a couple of seconds, l'chatchila, but if not, l'maisa, we are mekel mikor hadin, that even if you were motzi et miyad. Now, I would point out that, going back to the Chamudei Daniel point, if you hold like the Willig and the Chamudei Daniel and the Arach Shoh and all that stuff, you will have to wait for it long enough for it to get hot. Now, practically speaking, that happens almost instantaneously when you're koshering metal, usually, because metal transfers heat. So, I would imagine that if you took a metal kli, a fork or a spoon or whatever it is, and you, as quickly as you could, put it into boiling water and then took it out, and you touched it, you would see that it's totally, totally, totally hot by the time you get it in and out. In theory, I suppose, if you're koshering something that gets hot more slowly, like wood or the like, then if you hold of Rav Willig and the Chamudei Daniel and that whole school of thought, then you would definitely have to wait for at least the kli to become Yad Tzol Ed Hespo. And that's not totally in this machlokas rishonim, because even if you say that it's maflet immediately, it's only maflet once it reaches Yad Saletis Bo. And that would be a different issue. Fine. Okay. Chaluda. So the Rush writes that Kodem Agala Tzarch Loshef HaKli Yafa Kedei Lahavir Kol HaChaluda. And he quotes that this is already stated in the Sifrei, quoted by Rashi, Al HaTorah Achas Ezahaves HaKasef Mikan Shetzarch Lahavir HaChaluda. And the Mishnah Berurah explains, Sif Katan Chaf Beis, that Hagala doesn't work Lahaflet HaBalua Elak Sheyesh Rak Zahav Sham. Dehainuk She'en Sham Chaluda. When there's Chaluda, then you have to be concerned about a Mashahu that's Tachtav. And that is one of the concerns. Meaning to say that, okay. Now, if you look at the Beis Yosef, he writes that if there's just Chaluda, it's Ma'akev is Pleitas Abalua, Mitachas L'Chaluda. So there's a big nafkamina here. Right, is the concern that there's like a crumb of chametz underneath the chaluda, and therefore obviously hagala won't work because there's still mamashas, or is the concern that the chaluda is in some way an obstacle preventing the blios from underneath the chaluda from leaving? Because if you follow the second possibility that we said, which is, I think, the mashmaus of the Beis Yosef and the Rush in Psachim, so it's strange, because why don't we say that if it didn't come out this time, it won't come out next time? Let's say, in theory, the Metzius is right. I don't even know why you'd think this Metzius is right, because Hachshirk, you know, Haggalah works for everything, but Chayres... But even if you thought that the Metzius is right, there are blios underneath the chaluda that won't come out if you don't remove it. So if they don't come out now, so then they won't come out when I cook in this pot. Because, after all, if they were shaykh to come out, they would have come out already.
Loosen the chaluda maybe?
So you could say, yeah, that's the concern. The concern is that... the chaluda will come out later, right? Maybe the chaluda will fall off. You have a similar machlokas about patches. We'll get to that later. Are we concerned with blios or ben? And the Rosh Agav there is also l'shitaso. Now, nafkamina would be if you know that there's no mashahu. A lot of ways you could know. Let's say it started. I think a lot of times the metzias is you could tell that there's nothing underneath it. Something more like a tarnish, right?
So
that's an interesting shiloh, right? So if it's just discoloration, then we're mako. If it's like chaluda, then we're machmir. So I asked Rabbi Willig what he thought about tarnish on silver. So I had assumed that it's going to be just discoloration, and it would be okay, right? Nafgamina, if you have to polish, if you're kashering your silverware for Pesach, do you have to polish it first? Or no, you could, you don't have to polish it first. So if you treat it like chaluda, you would have to polish it first. If you don't treat it like chaluda, you don't. If you just treat it like discoloration. Willig is machmir. He's willing to be makel, though, for kiddush cups. Because kiddush cups, really, you shouldn't have to kasher them in the first place, right? The Rama says we kasher kiddush cups. Why do we kasher kiddush cups? Right? Anyone ever drink hot wine? Right? Again, the Rishonim like talk about hot wine, right? But I don't know. I don't know how common that is nowadays. And even if you did drink hot wine, you probably would drink it in a kiddush cup. You'd put it in a mug. But she wasn't here. He probably knows about hot wine. So that's the shayla. So we're machmir to kasher kiddush cups. Why are we machmir to kasher kiddush cups? Either because The Rama writes, because maybe you once used them with hot stuff. The Magen Avraham says, even if you know you didn't use your Kiddush cup with hot stuff, but maybe you left some chametz in it. Let's say I go ahead, I make Kiddush Friday night, and, you know, crumbs fall into my Kiddush cup. Crumbs of bread. Right? Ma'asim b'chol yom. And then you don't wash your dishes until Motzei Shabbos. It's been more than 24 hours after you... Exactly. More than 24 hours after you've used your... After the crumbs of challah fell in. So even if you're never a person to drink hot wine, but still there's going to be a problem of kavush. And that's why... Those are the two reasons why you have to kosher your kiddush cups. So... But lamais, it's a chumrah. So Willick said, since kasher and kiddush cups is only a chumrah, even though we're machmir for that chumrah, you do have to kasher kiddush cups. That's actually the thing that's most likely to have to get kasher for Pesach, because I think lots and lots of people don't have enough kiddush cups for Pesach, and they're expensive. You can't just, you know, so easily get new ones. We are machmir to kasher kiddush cups for Pesach. Where Willick thought that you could be makel like the opinions that tarnish isn't like chaludas. You don't have to polish yourself or your kiddush cups before you kasher them. You could kasher them straight. Now, Agav, once we're on the topic of kashering kiddush cups, so I was wondering. I wanted to ask this where Rabbi Willig. I didn't get a chance to ask him yet. I was asked this year a couple of people, do you need to kasher your baby bottles? So, do we say yes? Because it's like what the Rama says, you have to kosher cups. And even if these are cups that are only used by cold, so the Rama says, we're machmir. Where would you say no? The two chashos to be machmir by koshering cups don't apply here. Number one is you know that you never put hot chametz into this baby bottle. For one thing, because you never put any chametz into a baby bottle. You only put formula, or you only put milk, right? Most people don't give beer to their babies. And kavachomer, they don't give, you know, yatza lettuce bo beer. So maybe you could say, I know for sure that the Rama's concern isn't there. And also, you don't have to be concerned that crumbs fell in. First of all, again, assuming the baby's not yet eating, you know, your baby hasn't started solid foods yet. And anyway, can't get in, you know, you can't get food into the bottle. So maybe you shouldn't need to kosher your bottles. And you might think like, oh, come on. But it's not true, because a lot of people, like, their baby gets attached to one type of bottle. And some of these bottles are like $25. You know, you could buy like a 75-cent bottle, or you could buy a $25 bottle. It's like everything in society nowadays. You could buy the same thing for 10 times the price, and it's not ever clear why the one that's 10 times as expensive is more advantageous, even though there's 36 reasons on the box why you should spend $25 on this bottle. But anyway, so do you have to kosher baby bottles or not? I thought it makes sense to be makel. But
hot water.
So the tzad lahachmir is exactly that. The tzad lahachmir is that you wash them with your chametz stick dishes in hot water. So since you're washing them together with chametz, maybe you have to machmir. And even though it's true, it's, you know, there's soap and things like that. But on the other hand, the tzad to be more mekel is l'maisa, the baby is lo yigia l'chinuch, and yet we're machmir for safina, but would be machmir for safina nisfar. So, not clear. Anyway, I don't know. We'll ask, it's one on the list of shilas to ask Rabbi Willig. All right, another very interesting question, which, do we have time to talk about? Not really, but I'll just tell you the shila that comes up. You'll appreciate this. Is seasoned cast iron. So, this is a very nogeya shila. Comes up a lot nowadays that everybody's fancy with the way their cookware. So cast iron pans are these thick iron pans that feinschmeckers really like using. Feinschmeckers and people that are 85 years old. Why? Because they distribute the heat very evenly. They weigh like a ton. And
85-year-old people carry them.
I'll tell you a funny story about this. So once I went to my grandparents' house when I was in Israel, and I thought I was going to be a really good boy, and I was going to wash their dishes. So I washed their frying pan, and it seemed like a little bit greasy, so I used a lot of soap, and I scrubbed it, and I made it clean. And then my grandmother sees what I've done, and she said, "What did you do?" So I had no idea what she was talking about, but I asked my mother, and basically they had 85-year-old pots, and they were cast iron, and they seasoned them themselves. They didn't.
A lot of people still do season them.
Yeah.
What does it mean to season a pot?
So the chop is like this: you want there to be a patina on your cast iron pan so that the things don't stick to it, and the way you do it is by, like,
baking oil.
You have to. It's like a whole process of how to get your pan to be nonstick, and it's a big pain. So if you have cast iron pans, the way my grandparents used to do it was they basically never wash it. They would wipe it clean. You wipe it off, or if you need to really wash it, you use like a soft sponge with, you know, hot water, but you never will scrub it clean, because then you scrub off the patina and then you have to season it again. So I had apparently done such a good job cleaning the dishes that I ruined the dish. So again, you could fix it. It wasn't like a hefsin meruba, but it's just a pain. I didn't know that you're not supposed to wash it. So anyway, so nowadays people, feinschmeckers, like using cast iron again, but they don't really know they don't know how to cook even. So kol shekein, they don't know how to season pots. So they get pre-seasoned cast iron pans, right? In other words, they buy them that way. Oh, great. So what could be a problem with this? So the problem is that when they season them in the factory, if they use vegetable oil, then it's okay. But let's say they use lard or butter or the like. You can season your pan with all sorts of things. And foodies nowadays also have brought back lard. Like, for a while, we got past that. And, like, everybody was using vegetable oil. And then they went back to that. So the question is, if I buy a seasoned cast iron pan, this is a common question for rabbis to be asked nowadays, do you need to kosher it? And if you do you need to remove the patina to kosher it? Now, I would have said pashut, because since the kosherus agencies told me that this is a concern, that they're sometimes seasoned with actual non-kosher oil. So it's pashut that you'd have to remove the patina to kosher it. That's what I would have thought.
Shouldn't you have the first firing of an oven that's like kosher forever?
Well, it could be you could burn it out with like libun, but the like. So that's what I would have thought. So Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz was makel, but in a very interesting way. He said, no, the patina becomes part of the pan. So then maybe you'd say, you don't need a kosher it. But he says, no, you need a kosher it. Why? Because they're blios. So let's say I went ahead and I took lard and I seasoned my pan. So now I do have to kosher it because they're blios of lard. So I'll have to do hagalah, let's say. But even though it was the lard that created the patina, we don't see the patina as mamashas of lard anymore. We see it as part of the pan, in which case it could be koshered. Right? It's remarkable. So now there's another question whether you need to do liban or hargala. We'll get to that in a moment. But you could kosher it without removing the patina. That's what Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz said. And even though you could have argued, how could I treat this as mamashas? You could remove the seasoning with soap. Still, he thought that it's part of the pot. In other words, if I made the pot out of, I turned lard into a pot, then you're the pot's kosher, but you need a kasherit. That's basically what he's saying. So so that's a remarkable chiddush. I mentioned this to Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Shechter. They thought it was also a very big chiddush. But let's say you're mekel on the shaila. So now how do you kasherit? Liban or hagala? So the non-kosher oil comes in direct contact with the utensil. So then, l'chora, you should need liban gamor. Now this brings us back to the Ramah Mipano, right? According to Ramah Mipano, you would definitely need liban. However, other poskim reject the Ramah Mipano, as we mentioned, and therefore, you could argue that hagala would suffice. Right? So the CRC, based off of Gedalia Schwartz, Gedalia Schwartz was also Mekel on the Shaila, that you could use Hagala. They think we don't paskin like the Ramah Mipano, so bring it to a boil, or submerge it into a big pot, and that would be enough. Okay, fascinating. We will pick up tomorrow, also at 5. Maybe we'll finish. Maybe not. We'll see. I am leaving when